out instructions. Ryan looked around in amazement as he walked alongside Christy.
This place is bigger than most vills.
They walked another 9 or 10 minutes, moving into a part of the redoubt with side rooms, all with closed doors. Twice they reached junctions, taking first the left fork and later the right. Ryan glanced back over his shoulder.
Any ideas now, Dr. Tanner?
Oh, just Doc is fine. No, biggest I've ever seen. I figure there's maybe a stockpile linked. I confess that I have never heard of such a monstrous Gormenghastian pile.
There must be hundreds of people running it.
I beg to differ, Miss Roth. They were designed to last millennia with no supervision. A child could manage one of these once everything was set and functioning. I recall the malfunction rate was markedly below 1% of 1% of 1%.
Ahead, there was yet another barrier.
Halt! The Keeper commands obedience. Beyond that portal is food and rest for the weary traveler. Not that we've ever had a traveler before, weary or not.
We can take these guys. We all got knives. Christy's got the three throwers. Take them all, it'd be easy as farting.
They'll take half of us. Not good enough.
Ryan watched the doddering old man aim a small black remote control device at the top of the closed door. It was obviously a simple sonic switch that activated the opening lock. They stepped through, beneath another raised barrier, and found themselves in a great mall from another century. The floor was a patterned mosaic of soft tiles. At the center of the mall, 200 paces long by 100 wide, was a glittering fountain shaped from curves of polished metal, with water burbling and chirping from level to level. And on every side were stores, but stores of a kind that none of them had ever seen, even in their wildest dreams. Ryan looked around, his jaw sagging, his single eye dazzled wherever he stared. He heard Doc whispering in the background,
"Judas Iscariot, we've cron-jumped!"
But the words meant nothing to Ryan, and he forgot them in the bewildering sights all about them. Honecker was also mesmerized.
Oh, fucking dead sticky.
The Keeper will allow you to reconnoiter the parameters of the redoubt once you have eaten.
This place must hold an army.
You think so, black man?
Before Hennings had a chance to respond, Ryan quickly cut in.
We told you our names. How about yours?
This is my wife, Rachel.
The old man pointed to the old woman, who curtsied.
And this is my other wife, Lori. Yeah, she don't say much. Being a dummy, that's why.
And where are the others?
Others? Ain't none. We're everybody.
Then where's... Who...
The old man wiped some drooling spittle from his beard.
Me? I'm Quint the Keeper, young man. The Keeper of the Redoubt. And my word is law. And the law is death.
The blind, mewling creature tied naked to the bed bore little resemblance to a human being. Once it had been a farmer named Ivan Ivanovich that had struggled broken-nailed for a pitiful existence in cruel fields of poisonous soil. It had been married to a wife who had died of a bleeding illness 8 years back, leaving 3 squabbling children. 2 of them were mutants with grotesque facial disfigurements. 1 had a third soft pineal eye, exposed and raw, weeping constantly in the center of his forehead. Now, there was only darkness. Not the comfortable darkness of a cold night, with an iron stove glowing with heat, and he and his family huddled together under blankets all in one huge bed. No, it was a darkness far more sinister. He mumbled through broken teeth.
Not day. Not night.
There had been no warning. Just the shaggy men, with some devilish women among them, looming out of the driven snow in the fading light. All with guns slung across their shoulders. Real guns. Not the battered muskets and old bolt-action rifles that the folk of Ozhbarchik could muster. This band of guerrillas had visited them before. That time the butchers had stolen food and killed a villager who tried to resist them. This time, it seemed, the murderers were bent on killing all the villagers. Most of the 37 men of Ozhbarchik had fallen in a bloody hail of lead, massacred by the laughing strangers. The 19 women and 3 surviving children were seized and held in several of the scattered huts. The cows were each shot with a single bullet through the skull. Yvonne's two chickens were chased and caught with much merriment, decapitated, then thrown into a cauldron simmering over an open fire. Ivan Ivanovich had been the chieftain of Ozbarchik. His ownership of the pair of fowl had conferred that dubious honor on him. Now he was paying a monstrous price for that honor. Ivan Ivanovich had heard the leader of the band, named Uchitil, ordering his followers to take what they wanted, roast the animals, eat their fill. He had warned his people to watch for concealed weapons.
A man may dine, yet feel his stripes spilled in his lap.
There had been screaming, high, thin sounds, as the raiders took their pleasure with the women of the village. Ivan's sister had been taken in front of his eyes by 3 men at once, with others jostling in a queue behind, their breeches unlaced and lusting smiles on their faces. He'd watched a man fail in his efforts to sodomize a woman, and then take out his anger by slitting her throat from ear to ear, cursing the dying woman as her blood fountained across his boots. A huge woman with coarse skin had punched Ivan to the floor, holding him there with a muddied boot, while 2 other women cut away his clothes with their narrow-bladed knives. They had not been gentle, and his skin was streaming from 12 shallow slashes from their weapons. They had mocked him as they took and bound him to the rude frame of his own bed, hands and feet pulled painfully apart in a great X. Blood trickled from beneath his broken nails, from the tightness of the rawhide cords that bit into the skin at ankle and wrist. He'd been conscious of the horrors all about him. One of his children had been butchered for refusing to use his tender mouth to pleasure a skinny killer. He smelled the scent of a huge fire outside, and knew that some of the huts were being used for fuel to roast the slaughtered cattle. Gradually, the screaming had died down. None of them had come to hurt him. Not then. Not at first. After an hour or so, the leader came to the bed and stared down at him. He wore a long coat made from the skin of a white bear, trimmed with soft sable. His eyes were a curious golden color, his mouth